You know, sometimes we underestimate the way God works. And those of you who were here earlier, you already heard my little song, but this morning as I was searching out the heart of the Lord for this particular day and what He would try to invest in you and invest in me, because, you know, He's in progress of changing us. He's trying to awaken us to something more than we've ever known. So that's the whole purpose of God. So if you will bow your heads and pray with me, say, Lord Jesus, this morning, open my ears, open my heart, open my understanding, so that I can comprehend who I really am. Hallelujah. Now, the little song that I heard was really just one verse, and it was, for your love, I would do anything. And I said, Lord, that's kind of a neat song, but I don't catch on. I'm not catching on. Later on in the car as I was driving in, because I was still searching what He wanted, I heard, sing it again. So I'm in the car, singing, for your love, I would do anything. And He said, change one word. For your love, I've given everything. I said, oh. Oh. And then 1 John came into my heart. Now, I didn't have my Bible, and I don't read my Bible while I'm driving. So, in case you wonder if I'm going to start texting to find a verse, I'm not going to do that when I'm driving. How many know that you can create a problem? So, I didn't want to create a problem, but when I got in my office this morning, I went to 1 John. So, I want to take you with me to 1 John. Okay? So come to 1 John chapter 3. Okay? And I want to kind of read verse 2 first. Because John is writing to his friends. And he says, dear friends, we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, and in the footnote it says, when it is made known, that's when it appears, we shall be like Him. But we shall see Him as He is. So, what has He given up? What did He give up? Or what didn't He give up in order to prove that He loved us? And my first response was a short little snap vision of Him on the cross, letting Himself die for us. And obviously, I don't need to go there. I think most of you know that He died for us. But it says here, when He appears, or when He is made known, when you have knowledge of someone, you become intimate. You get to know that person. It's just like when you first get to understand the anointing of the Holy Ghost, you get a very dramatic response inside of yourself. When there's a Holy Spirit connection. How many know what I'm talking about? I remember many years ago, I was in a crowded area. There must have been a couple, 3,000 people all squished into one huge arena area. And I heard my name and a little hand waving up in the air. And it was Elfrida. And she was way out on the other side of this huge room. And she cried out my name. And there was a jumping inside of me as I was heading in that direction. And I don't know how come, but you know how when God just opens the doors and the people are just moving back and I'm just walking towards her? And as I'm walking towards her, I'm feeling this little vibration inside my stomach. Okay? I didn't have a bellyache, by the way. But I could feel the anticipation as I reached her and her husband. I gave them a hug, and it was like, wow, this is cool. This is God. This is a connection. Now, how many have tasted what I'm talking about? Okay. See, it's better to feel it than to talk about it. I could talk about it till you turn green, but my prayer is that you get to taste. Because if you never get the taste, you're going to wonder, gee, I don't know about those people. They're not normal. You're right. We're not normal. We're different. We are filled with the Spirit of the Living Father inside of us. We are filled with His love. And when we get this, like, oh my God. And I remember this was the first time after the infilling of the Holy Spirit that I had this wild knowing that I wasn't like all these other people there. It was a strange feeling. It was like, am I really normal? And I wasn't. St. John is writing to the disciples and he's letting them know, you're not normal. But when he is made known inside of you, you connect with someone else and you can feel that extra something. And it's called love. Now, in the natural realm, you could sing that little song and know how much you've given up in order to be accepted and loved. Amen? You can say, oh, well, I gave up this and I gave up that in order to be received and loved and then hated or battered or accused or abused. How many have tasted and given a chance? Somebody might love me, and then found that they got slapped in the face by the same person. Put your hand way up, because you see, you need to know that you've tasted, and you know, wait a minute, I'm not going for seconds. But I can tell you this, once you've tasted of the love of God, and that unconditional flow of love that flows from the inside of that other person, you're ready to go back for seconds and thirds. Amen? You'll go back for more because you know something is different about that person. I want that. I want to taste what they have. I want to experience what they have. I want more than they've got. See, what I'm trying to tell you is Holy Ghost jealousy was impacting me on that day. Okay? It was. It was like, okay, this is good. This is God. This is Him. Because I can tell on the inside, it has nothing to do with the reasoning. Had nothing to do with my mind. Had nothing to do with the brain. It had a lot to do with the heart. Verse 1. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Knowledge. Knowing a person is more than just, oh, how are you? Yeah, I know your name. I can know about you, but not know the real you. I can tell you that you can be with an individual many, many years, even in a marriage covenant, and not know the fullness of that other heart. You may have a revelation of what they want you to see, but the real inner parts are hidden from you. And they are able to hold it. Do you know why? They're afraid to get hurt. They've sealed up their own hearts. They've put up a wall. They won't let anybody else touch them emotionally because of inner vows and promises they've made to themselves. Never to let anybody else in to their hearts because it's too much pain. Anybody relate to that? Okay. See, the reason that I'm trying to make you aware, okay, is that Jesus, when he comes in to our hearts, his purpose is to do a work of releasing freedom. When he is allowed to come in and be the manager of our lives, he comes in and he begins to remove the things that we allow him to remove. Close your eyes for a moment. Say, Lord Jesus, you'll only remove what I allow you to remove. I'm still in the control room. And if I say, don't touch this, you won't touch it until I give you permission. So healing is conditional upon my choice. Yeah. Even the healing of your heart is conditional upon your choice. If you choose to pull back and say, I don't want you to touch this corner of my life, Lord, guess what? He's not going to go there. He will respect you and love you where you're at and keep on loving you. Now, if I remember correctly, somebody has a pair of binoculars. Checking things out. That was one of the visions, right? Okay. Now, if a person is checking things out, why are they checking it out? Because there's something stirring on the inside, right? I mean, how many get nosy about God and his ways, and you want to know the details before you make a commitment? Thank you! I don't want to get hurt! I've been hurt enough! Now, none of you guys have ever done anything like that, but I have. But I know that when he appears, see, what I'm trying to tell you is, when I see Jesus in you, and my spirit begins to jump, and that relationship is connected, that I can trust this individual, that there's love flowing through that person, not just a bunch of normal stuff, like the flesh people that I've known all my life. But the real people, the real lovers of the Lord, the real givers of themselves are different. They're a different breed, a different DNA. They're not the same as everyone else. And that's why they're questioned, they're laughed at, they're mocked. Yes? And you end up knowing who you belong to by a little bit of the persecution. And some of you don't like persecution, so you ride both fences. I've done it. Well, I'll be a little bit like the world, just not to be received, all of the rejection, and I'll be a little bit like the Christians when I'm around the Christians. How long do you think God's going to put up with that? No, he's not. He's going to get you to see yourself at some point. He's going to let you see that what you think you can do by walking both sides, you're going to crash. Very exhausting. You're right. Now, how do you go forward with it? How do you go forward? You make a decision and you say, okay, Lord, I don't want you to go into that corner of my heart. I'm afraid of going in there, but I'm going to choose to let you go in and start healing it because I don't want to live where I've been living all these years. And that's letting Jesus be the manager of our lives. That's letting him pour out his love into us so that we can become more and more like him. That's the whole reason he sent Jesus. The Father was not having a problem with the earth. You know, he can be totally happy in his heaven without all this mess down here. That's the bottom line. He didn't need us. He created us because He wanted to have a love flow with us. That's what He created us for. He didn't look at us like ants crawling on the ground and waiting for His foot to just crush a few of us. And that's my mental picture of God for a long, long time. Oh, I don't want to get too close to God. You know, talk about God, talk about politics, no way. But you know what? He showed me His love. He showed me He was interested in me. He showed me His compassion through people who were interested in helping me along my journey with knowing Him. Earlier this morning, I was praying with an individual, and I don't remember what I said, but she turned around and she says, "Well, you picked up the phone." Yeah, I did. You picked up the phone. How many of you have answered the phone and didn't want to talk to somebody and wanted to hang it up? Yeah. You picked up the phone. Ever since then, I don't like what I'm learning about me. My job, right now, is to let you know it's not important what you've done. It's important about the choices that are going to be made in the days and weeks ahead and months ahead. You know, the marvelous thing about God is that He has already declared us not guilty. We still call ourselves what? Guilty. Many, many times we say, "Oh, how can He love me? Look at the mess I just created." I mean, if you want the opinion of men, listen to your enemies and you'll get the opinion of men. And you don't have to go too far for the opinion of flesh. It might be in your own home. Might be in your own backyard. Might be in the one that you love the most. Because all they see is your faults. How many have ever encountered an angry dad? Thank you. Boy, he's got opinions about me today. Whew. I don't think I want to get close to him. And of course, then you say, "Oh, our Father who art in heaven." Who in the heck needs another father? Certainly not me. That was my problem. That was literally my problem. I didn't realize my heavenly Father wasn't like my earthly one. I made no differentiation between the two. I had them all in the fatherhood company. It took me years to really lay that down before the Lord and say, "You know what? I have a problem with fathers, Lord. I really do. Could you please heal my heart?" And He did. But you know what? He took His sweet little time. He took it little bit by little bit by little bit, and He changed my choices as I went along. Because sometimes I would say, "I can't take any more." And I put the fence back up. And then the Lord would say, "Okay, this is round 32. Are you ready for round 33? And it was a wrestling match, in case you forgot. He was really trying to get me to let go of what I used to be so that He could form Himself in me and make me like Him. It was a full-time job. He's not done yet. But I do know this. He gave up everything to release His love in me so that I can love others. That was the whole reason for sending His Son. I'm going to give you a few more scriptures and then we're going to pray. Ephesians 2:4. Because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, verse 25, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. In other words, even if I was completely out of his will, he still poured out by his grace. And it is by grace you have been saved. So salvation comes by grace. It is not something we can work for. It's a decision we receive. Romans 5, verse 8. God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's absolute. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Jeremiah 31, 3. The Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. In other words, his consistent pull on us to get us to become more like him never stops. It's eternal. Deuteronomy 7:8. But it was because of the Lord's love. Sorry. It was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your forefathers that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. You know, when you realize his love for you, when you comprehend how much he cares about what's happening in your heart, what's happening in your emotions, what's happening with your family circumstances, whatever it is, it's not too big for his love to just wrap itself around you and to take you through that hard space. So if you close your Bibles, please. Would you stand? Would you hold hands with your neighbor, please? Say, Lord Jesus, you have loved me with an eternal love. And you gave up everything to bring life into me. And I welcome that life. It's eternal life, filled with compassion, filled with mercy. I will continue to give you grace because the hurts of the past are in process of getting healed because I've given you permission to take me deeper in your love. Give me the mercy to keep on going forward. I don't want you to stop, Lord. Because I'm in my right mind right now. I want to go all the way. So keep healing me for your glory. In Jesus' name.